live from Grove Hill, the Premier Dental Arts Morning News Express. Now your hosts, Bob Miller and Ryan Hedrick.
That's us, the Morning News Express, 811 at WFMB. Bob Miller, Ryan Hedrick.
Hey, Bob.
You're done TGI Friday. Thank
you, sir. I need to talk about something, and I want to be very clear about what I want to talk about next, because I was at the police forum a couple of days ago, and everybody in this country is reacting emotionally to what we saw with Tyree Nichols being beaten to death by Memphis police, and rightfully so. It was disgusting. It's not anything that resembles any type of law enforcement that we've grown accustomed to trusting in this country. It was more like a gang hit almost. It seemed personal. And of course, it was a murderous act that led to the indictment of five officers, right? So I can understand that emotions are running high right now. What I can't understand is this: the public's reaction to what should be next for law enforcement makes me scratch my head, because you have a bunch of citizens that have weighed in all over the country about various events, and everybody thinks they have the magic formula to police reform, including lawmakers who have absolutely ruined the morale of police across the country. And here in Maryland, the emotional reaction from George Floyd's death at the hands of Derek Chauvin in Minnesota prompted lawmakers to take away the police officer's Bill of Rights, which to me, again, is a head scratcher. If you're trying to actually build the profession up and grow police officers and make them want to stay in your communities and protect your communities, why would you take away something that has protected them for such a long time? So one clip that caught my attention was the young woman talking about, well, you know, good for them. And she spoke to me at FCC, and she said, you know, good for the police in Memphis to come out and fire those people, but I'd just like to see it stop. And I agreed with her. I'd like to see it stop too. But the question I have for you, Bob, and people could weigh in on the text line at 301-694-9363, is what should be done about police brutality? Because in my opinion, these incidents, and I think statistics have proven this, the incidents of police brutality are few and far between as it relates to the daily interactions that police have with citizens across the country. So you are not likely to be harmed by a police officer in that fashion, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But if you listen to people reacting emotionally and just watching the mainstream media, who has a narrative to push, you would think that this stuff happens all the time when it actually doesn't. I think the rate of people dying at the hands of police officers like that is a very, very low percentage. And I would caution people, especially in the community of Frederick, a community that's well-policed, it is clean. You know, for all intents and purposes, the crime rate is low, and I think we have great cops here. But I would caution people to react and judge our community by what's happening in other communities. Slow the emotional reactions and look at the stuff logically. That's all I have to say about that.
Well, so there's a lot that you said. So let's take this from another point of view. Okay, so let's say people are saying, you know, what that person said, what can be done. I think exactly what was done when we had the showing of, say, the George Floyd thing, and now the incident in Nashville, Tennessee, or is it Memphis? They were fired, Memphis. And now they're being brought up on charges. So I think it's, you know, when something like that happens, then the steps are taken. But it's like, oh well, it's widespread. Well, maybe it could have been because, you know, we didn't have cameras back in the day. So I mean, that would have happened back in the day. They would have said, they could have said something else. I don't know.
Do you get the sense though that these social justice advocates are never satisfied with what's coming next? So
never ever.
At the same time. At the same time, the Frederick Police hosted that forum at FCC, the NAACP, who I've had one conversation with the head of the Frederick chapter of the NAACP, held a rally. So I can't speak to what happened at the Frederick Bandshell, only the reporting of the Frederick News Post. But what I can tell you at the forum is I ran into a lot of people that are grateful to live in Frederick, and we should be grateful to live in Frederick. It's a beautiful community. And again, the police are very pleasant here, very, very pleasant. We have two great leaders in Lando and Jenkins with the city and the county, respectively, and we are lucky. And I will say it again, lucky, lucky, lucky. But some of the people that I spoke to at FCC were like, good, but this is not enough. We need to go further. Well, then what is the answer? And have you done a ride-along? I asked this question yesterday. Have you done a ride-along? I'm asking you out there. If you think that we need to reform police, contact the Frederick City Police Department or the Frederick County Sheriff's Office and request a ride-along and then make a judgment as to how difficult that job is. Because I can tell you, it's tough. I've covered police for a long time, and covered brutal crime, too, and some very talented professionals. It's not easy. It's not easy. You can't just wave a magic wand and say, this is fixed. And we have to stop letting the mainstream media create this narrative that police are bad, because these incidents, there's more to these incidents than what we see on video. I'm not talking about Tyree's video. I'm talking about other videos. There's questions about the George Floyd video. There's questions about hands up, don't shoot. All that stuff creates narratives that shape public opinions, which ultimately lead to, you know, deeply held beliefs about what the police are.
You said a lot, and I know we got to take a break, so we'll do that. We'll come back, and we'll continue our conversation and give you the opportunity to join in on it at 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD.
930 WFMD Sports Update.
All right, big high school basketball schedule tonight in Frederick County, and the game I'm watching, I don't know about you, is Linganore in Frederick. Frederick is still undefeated. They are just mowing down their competition. Tip-off at 7 at Frederick High School. Meanwhile, Middletown, Brunswick, Boonesboro, Catoctin, North Hagerstown, Thomas Johnson, Urbana, Oakdale, Williamsport, Walkersville, girls schedule, TJ, North Hagerstown, Tuscarora, South Hagerstown, Catoctin, Boonesboro, Frederick, Linganore, Oakdale, Urbana, Walkersville, and Williamsport. The Maryland Terrapins play tomorrow on WFMD at 9 o'clock against Minnesota in a Big Ten showdown. Meanwhile, in the NBA, LeBron James is 63 points away from breaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's all-time scoring record of 38,387 points. LeBron, 38,325 points this morning. It's 8:19.
I don't think my faith has been restored. I think that this is just something that keeps reoccurring. I think good for them for reacting quickly, but I definitely want to see this just not happen anymore.
Morning News Express at WFMD, 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD. Did you see somebody texted us? And I don't see it now, so I don't know if I can find it.
When was it?
I'm not really sure how far back it was, but it said, did you hear that maybe the rumor was that Tyree was dating one of these guys' ex-wife? Now, it said it was a rumor?
Yeah, so where did that rumor start? And again, we need to get out in front of this stuff because we have a responsibility to sort out, you know, all the chaos.
Fact versus fiction?
Yeah, exactly. So that story was reported by Jesse Waters on Fox News a couple of days ago that there may have been a connection. And Jesse kept prefacing it by saying he wasn't sure if that was the case. There is more to this story than we know, and we have to let it play out in a court of law. But in the court of public opinion and on social media, that's what I was talking about a couple of hours ago. You have YouTubers in this community that are held to different standards. So they can criticize somebody important in this community and nobody will say anything. And it's not because other people aren't watching. People are watching them. But me, as a co-host of a morning show on a news talk station, if I say something, then people jump on me and they say that I'm reporting false information or how dare you say that or whatever they want to say. Here's the thing, okay? We all need to hold each other accountable for what we say, and we need to stop spreading hate and fear, and we need to deal with facts. Now, I know emotional reactions, in my opinion, stem from our broken public school system. If you encounter a younger person today, chances are that they may tell you that they're feeling traumatized in some way, that they have trauma in some way, when in fact they may not even know what trauma looks like from a psychology standpoint. They just may be talking about it because they're repeating the echo chamber that is the public school system. That's why I keep saying if adults don't know how we feel sometimes, how the heck can a kid knows how he feels? But it's such an emotional society, and that's hard to reverse because they're indoctrinating children. And I think we know that, judging by the last election cycle and what we heard so much about critical race theory.
Article, a letter to the editor by the guy who couldn't get out of his basement to run against Sheriff Chuck Jenkins, wrote a letter to the editor about the police beating, who was at this forum that you were talking about. We're talking about Carl Bickle.
Yep.
Who basically said, I'm not going to read all of it. You can read it for yourself. But he said the history states roots of the Tyre Nichols death has not been addressed. Experts, pundits, and politicians of today are no more likely to address the problem than those of the past unless they identify police subculture as the root cause. Now, he goes on to say, as long as police chiefs and sheriffs recruit and hire officers in the spirit of adventure, not the spirit of service, as long as they send them to police academies patterned after military boot camps and dress them in black battle dress uniforms, then turn them loose on an us versus them outlook towards those they serve and protect to prosecute the wars on crime, drugs, and terrorism, we will see same kinds of incidences that took place in Memphis. That's why you didn't win sheriff.
Okay, so Carl Bickle, just to be clear, the last time Carl Bickle was in an official capacity as law enforcement was about 34, 35 years ago. Again, this is the politicalization I'm talking about with law enforcement. So when you make those statements, even though that is an opinion column, you are demonizing everybody that works hard to serve their community and take their oath seriously, in my opinion. I mean, if we were to get up here every morning and say that kind of stuff, that training academies resembles boot camps and that we're just turning people loose like a bunch of animals, that's not true at all. The Frederick police have their own training academy. It's a great training academy. They use local resources. They train their officers to do the exact opposite of what we're seeing around the country. That is an academy that deserves praise. But when you make statements like that, you're grouping everybody into the same group. And that's dangerous because that rhetoric is hard to overcome.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you got to keep certain standards. And see, this is the thing that bothers me. And when I hear, when see and read things like what Carl Bickle wrote, you know, one day a police officer, whether it be city deputy or state police officer, one day might be chasing down a drug addict, drug dealer, somebody who might have murdered somebody. The next day, they're giving Narcan to an overdosed, drug addict and saving their lives. But we don't hear about that on a daily basis, and days that they might be pulling somebody out of a fire, a car vehicle that might be on fire. We don't hear about that very often, but you know, you shoot somebody and you do what they did in Memphis. And look, those officers have been dealt with severely, as well they should have been. What happened with George Floyd? Same thing. Those officers were severely dealt with.
And I think our listening audience know I have very strong opinions about recovery and drug addicts in this community or any other community. I want to be clear. It's not police job to get you clean. If you're suffering from a drug addiction, it is a personal responsibility that you have to your society, your family, and yourself to get clean. Police officers are merely administering Narcan because it's literally the only thing we have right now as a defense mechanism against the opiate crisis, which the police did not cause. Doctors caused this. Big pharma caused this. This transcends law enforcement. And the cops on the front lines, they are given this tool that is only delaying the inevitable if you keep using. And it's not their job to get you clean. Narcan has saved lives. Yes, it's been a great resource. But again, recovery is a personal decision. And you have to come to some understanding with yourself and God and come to terms with your disease. So I want to bring on Ann. Ann wants to comment on our conversation. Go ahead, Ann.
Well, I was just saying, don't think that the police are going to teach these kids. This must be done in the home. I raised two kids, and they're in their 30s now. Or no, they're in their 60s now. Neither one of them was ever in trouble because I taught them at home that you were polite and kind out in public. And you didn't go there to cause a problem for all the people and the other people on the street. Don't think that the police are going to teach the kids. They're there to correct them. And by the way, Ryan, if you ran for president, I'd vote for you. I believe everything you said.
Okay. Thank you, Ann.
Ann has no sense what she did. Just jury, you will disregard. No, I'm only kidding.
Listen,
thank you, Ann, for the phone call.
I think the dynamic of law enforcement has changed, and this is just from an analysis standpoint, covering law enforcement for the last 10 years in multiple states. Our country has changed, so they have had to evolve and change some of their standards. The Frederick Police talked about implicit bias training during the forum on Wednesday. I'm not sure what that is, but that's not a term I've ever heard associated with law enforcement. Not being critical, just saying that that's something that is new to the community, and maybe I have to learn more about that to talk on it. But listen, police officers are being tasked with impossible things. There has to be, in some cases, parents. There has to be drug counselors. There has to be, you know, any number of things but police officers. And by the way, they have to worry about coming home to their loved ones safe and sound every night. And that, in and of itself, is a big challenge in any community.
843 WFMD, and we are the home of Frederick County High School Sports. And the voice of those sports brought to you by our friend Steve Nibbs, the coach.
The coach, what's going on, coach?
Good morning, Ryan. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
How are you guys?
Yeah, we're doing really well. You have a good one tonight, but before we talk about that game, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the Frederick Cadets. They're the hottest team in the county right now. They're undefeated. No signs of slowing down, besides the obvious question of what's working for them, which is everything. What is working for them, Steve Nibbs?
Well, they just have the balance. To me, Ryan, they have all the ingredients that you need to have a team of that caliber. They have the bigs. They got the shooters. They got ball handling. They got tremendous defense. And they've got a bench. Coach Hill can go, you know, 8-9 deep on his bench, and they all contribute. And he's really got them working in unison, and his rotation, it's all clicking right now. And they certainly got a big test and a good test last week against St. Maria Goretti. A very good ball club. So, yeah, they're on a roll, and if nothing happens, they're going to be tough to beat, period.
Well, you know what? And the great thing about high school sports is that some of these kids who played football, you know, turn in their pads and put on the gym shorts to go play basketball. Two sports stars, maybe some even more than that, and it's fun to watch. And then you got kids who are just, you know, that's the sport that they focus on, and it's a good dynamic to have.
Indeed. You know, that right now, if we're looking at the Central Maryland Conference Championship games, if they were to play today, you've got your Frederick from the Spires, and you'll have Walkersville from the Gamble Division on the boys' side. And then for the girls, Linganore, outstanding team, only one loss this year, they would be from the Spires. And undefeated Williamsport right now would be from the Gamble Division. So that there's some great matchups there with those ball clubs. Tonight, We've got Urbana and Oakdale Girls at Urbana, and those two schools having real good years. They're in second and third place in the conference, but certainly very capable of upsetting possibly Linganore and giving everybody they face a battle. So we've got, again, as we seem to do almost every year, a very good selection of teams that can, you know, make a run into the playoffs.
Steve, you've been around high school sports for a long time, and of course, you know, they continue to change, and what's wrong is now right, and I'm talking about paying athletes. So some athletes are actually getting paid out of high school to go to college under naming rights, deals and stuff like that. Have you heard any Frederick County athletes bring that up? And what do you think about where we're at right now as some kids are actually getting compensated to go play college athletics?
Well, that's just, of course, I'm old school. So, you know, that takes me a little off guard in the sense that, you know, I'm not used to seeing that. I guess it's what it is these days. That's what we're heading towards. What things are going to be, you know, as far as, I guess, helping kids get through school. I don't know. It's just a unusual concept for me to think about, because I grew up and Bob's same way. I'm sure that that was not done. You were amateurs and you stayed that way, but that's the world today, and so I guess that's the direction we're heading.
Yeah, for sure.
And I haven't heard any Frederick kids bring that up.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just a matter of time before we start seeing kids good enough to get their own platforms. And you know what? In some sense, good for them, because colleges are profiting a lot on athletes. Mm-hmm. So,
correct.
You know, there's a lot of pros and cons to it. But I think it all goes to... Yeah. You know, we have some very talented Frederick County athletes that are doing great things, and you get to call some of those athletes on a daily basis. Steve, yeah.
That's what's so much fun about this job, Ryan, is that I retired, but I was able to stay in touch with these kids and watch them play, and, you know, because I always enjoyed doing that when I was at TJ, and it's just so much fun, and you get to watch them not only perform, but start and grow through their programs and graduate and go on and do great things, as you said. It's just very rewarding.
For sure.
Hey, speaking of TJ, Steve, and I know we got to go soon. They just hired a new football coach. He looks awfully young, but there's a lot of enthusiasm around him.
Yes, indeed. I've heard a lot of things about this young man, and that's what you need right now. That's what that program certainly needs, is that enthusiasm, and he seems to have that. He was a defensive coordinator last year, so he knows those kids. They know him, and they apparently do respond to him. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that program will start to continue to get back to where they want to be.
All right, Steve Nibbs, we'll be listening tonight, and again, a small pregame show, and then the play-by-play. And what time will you be on the air, Steve?
6:50 tonight, and I'll have a gentleman who knows a little bit about basketball, Billy Miskell, will be my partner tonight.
All right, fantastic. Looking forward to you and Billy's call, and we'll be glued to the radio. Thanks, man.
Don't let that Miskell kid do any Middletown stuff.
Thank you, Bob. You have a good weekend.
Steve, he said, don't let that Miskell kid do any Middletown stuff.
Oh, I know. I got to keep an eye on him. That's for sure.
That's right.
All right, Nibs. Thanks, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Indeed, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, stay well. 8:50 at WFMD.